Well, hello, friends. Glad that you're here. That's really loud. Sorry about that. But we're really glad you're here this morning. You know, some of y'all haven't been around for a long time, but in the early days of Watermark, we were at a place, really the first 7 years, from 1999 until about 2007, we were at Lake Highlands High School is where we met for 7 years. And it was really funny, kind of during the spring, or fall, winter, and spring, when Todd did most of the teaching, the AC was always on, the lights were working great, but in the summer, when he took some time off, he had some others of us teach. And it was amazing how sometimes the AC didn't work, or the lights didn't work. And so we were like, does Todd have some minions back in the back that are pulling levers and doing that because he doesn't want anybody else to teach? And so we walked in this morning and Peter's on a big lift right here messing with our projector. And obviously we've got one screen not working today. So if you guys see Wagner around here, let me know and we can find out if he's kind of trying to sabotage what's happening because we're unplugging from Dallas for a few weeks here. And so that's what we are doing. You know, last week we celebrated our baptism. Today we're just going to take some time and it's really my first chance to talk about my heart for what I want our Plano campus to be about. And so we've been going really hard, right? For all of y'all that have been around, we started meeting in August, went hard in August in the loft, then we launched here in January, and we've done membership classes and group links and baptisms and Easter service and all that kind of stuff, and there's been a ton of activity. And so I'm really excited about today and next week and then the following week when we just kind of get to pull back a little bit and just be reminded about What does it mean to be Christian? What does it mean to be a Christ follower? So we're going to talk today a little bit about that. And then next week, we're going to do really a praise and worship and communion service. And so we're going to be here. That's what Dallas is doing today, where we're just going to spend some additional time in worship. We're going to spend some time in prayer, and then we're going to take communion together as the body of Christ. And then the week after that, we're going to be unplugged from Dallas as well. So I'm excited about this little season here where we get to kind of pull back a little bit, take a deep breath and say, okay, God, let's just be reminded in the midst of the activity what's really important. So before we jump into the message, there's a couple of things I really want to celebrate. First of all, today is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all you moms. Absolutely. And so we're really glad that you're here. And this is really significant for me. Some of y'all don't know my story, but my dad left our family when I was a early teens, and my mom basically exhibited what it means to be Christ to me. She gave up everything in her life so that she could love and care for my sister and I. And if you ask me what led me to the Lord, if you ask me what gave me my heart to love and serve people, I will tell you that it's my mom and the example that she gave me. So for you moms that are here, sometimes in our culture, we don't give you the due that you deserve, and I just want to tell you, from a kingdom of God perspective, your role is uncomparable in terms of what you do. And I know some of y'all have got four kids under the age of five at home, and you are thinking, oh my gosh, is this ever going to pass? It does, and it goes really fast, but even though those days don't feel significant, they're incredibly significant for your kids, and for God's family as well. So this may be a little awkward for you. We're going to go a little Southern Baptist on us today. So if you're a mom, would you stand up? And I'm going to pray for you, okay? So stand up. We want to honor you, and we want to pray for you. So let me pray for the moms in our body. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for these women that are standing up. And Father, I pray that you would bless them. Father, I pray that you would bless their walk with you. I pray that you would bless their families. Would you protect their families, Father, from accident, from evil, and from illness? Father, I pray that they would understand in the midst of craziness as a parent, which it is so much of the time, that they would sense your peace, a peace that passes all understanding. I pray that they would sense the significance of their role. Father, I pray that you would encourage them in just unique ways. I pray that you would be their comfort in times of trial and tribulation, that you would be their joy and their encouragement. when there's playtime happening all over the house, Father, but I pray that you would bless them. We want to celebrate them and their role on this day. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. All right. Thank you to our mothers. The other thing I want to celebrate is we had a little deal last week here called a baptism. And we had a bunch of folks get baptized. I just want to give you a little pastoral comment. You know, at the beginning, Eric kind of said, hey, if you parents, if y'all don't participate in kind of the hand motions and stuff like that, we're going to call you out and bring you up here on stage. And so I turned around, and I mean, I didn't see anybody not doing the hand motions. So you're going to get a chance to see it in this video right here. It says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. A bunch of folks that are in this room are going to get baptized today, and it's a picture of the fact that we are dead to this old life, separated from God. And there wasn't anything that we can do about it. So we were separated from God. We're dead. That's the symbol of that water. And so you come up into this newness of life. And so it's an external picture of an internal commitment that these people have made. They have placed their faith and their trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross.
God of mercy, love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the skies. Peace, hallelujah, be multiplied.
Thankful for everything that Christ did, just set me free from the bonds of religion, and just thinking that tradition was the way to life. Glad to be set free.
I was saved through faith, not of myself, so that I won't boast, but as a gift of God, not by my works. And this is not a work that I perform, but a work of the Lord that he performed in and through me. And I'm so grateful, as well as the others who are here, to be called as a sheep in his flocks.
Like radiant diamond bursting inside us, we cannot contain. Your love will surely combine us like blazing wildfire. Your name, God of mercy, love of mine, now I have surrendered to your desire. May this offering that's across the sky, peace, hallelujah, be multiplied. Peace, hallelujah, be
all right. Love it. And just so you know, if at any time you decide to cross the line of faith and become a Christ follower, or if you're friends and they're a part of our family here, we don't have to wait till May 10th, 2016 to baptize you. We bought those tanks for a reason, so we can do that all through the year. So let us know if that's anything that ever you want to do in order for you to feel obedient to what God is doing in your life. Well, I'm going to throw a slide up here as we kind of start the message, and I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you if you would like to have all of these things in your life. And so it's things like, would you like to hear from God on a regular basis and in critical moments? Would you like to have peace in the midst of trials and tribulation? Would you like to stand courageously for Christ when persecuted? Would you like significant eternal rewards, a deeper understanding of God's goodness and sovereignty? Would you like to know God's heart for our culture and our world, how to manage your time to get maximum kingdom impact, to be a vessel for life change in the lives of your family and others? And would you like to have boldness to share your faith? It's kind of a silly question, right? I think as we go through that list, and I just sat down and I did that really quickly, and I just said, hey, what are the things that I would like to have in my life that just aren't fully realized yet? And so that list kind of came to mind real quickly, and so I just jotted those down. But today, we're going to spend some time talking about one thing that you can do so that all those things that I just read about can happen in your life. Because the scripture says in several places, but specifically, we're going to look at a couple of different places of where Jesus and King David said, hey, only one thing really matters. So in the midst of all the activity we do for God, in the midst of all the things that we do as believers, two pretty significant people in the scriptures say one thing really matters: King David and Jesus. So we're going to look at a couple of those passages of scripture, and then we're going to talk about how is it that we, as the body of Christ at Watermark Plano, can begin to take ground in this area. Because if we take ground in this one thing, all these other things are going to characterize us as individuals, and they're going to characterize us as a church, which is my heart and my dream for our church that's here. So let's first, let's look at Psalm 27, verse 4. Eric read it during the worship set, and it just says this. This is King David, and he says one thing. There it is. King David, a man after God's own heart, says, one thing I have asked from the Lord that I will seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. One thing I have asked. And so anytime you're studying God's word, one of the things that you want to do is if you have time to kind of unpack a verse like that, you want to take a look at what are the verbs, okay, in that passage. So let's just take a quick look at what the verbs are in that passage. And so it's asked, seek, dwell, behold, meditate. And so David is saying, hey, all of these things, okay, are part of the one thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And so I want to make sure you hear it. King David is saying to you and me that one thing matters, and that's that we have an intimate relationship with God, an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And then if we go into the Gospels, we go into Luke. We go to chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. We see that Jesus gives kind of a familiar story here that I think has really been misapplied. So you're going to be real familiar. A lot of you will be real familiar with this story. It's the story of Mary and Martha. It's in Luke 10, 38 through 42. And so let's just read it together. It says that now as they were traveling along, Jesus, this is the he right there, entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing, there it is, Jesus is saying, one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her. And I've heard this taught a lot of times, that it's like this is a passage of Scripture that just kind of says, hey, we are wired differently, and some of us are Marthas, and some of us are Marys. And that's true. We all have different spiritual gifts, and we have been called to use those for the sake of God's kingdom. And what else is more important than when Jesus was on this earth as a way to make preparations for him? But I want to make sure we understand the scene that's happening right here. Jesus, in his loving, kind, tender way, is saying to Martha, who was the one making all the preparations, she's saying, hey, Mary has made the better decision right here. So it is a loving, gentle rebuke of us, of Martha in that situation, of us, that when we are running around doing all these things we think under the name of Christianity or for the sake of Jesus, Jesus is giving us a mild rebuke. And he's saying, hey, one thing really matters, and Mary has chosen it. And what is that one thing? She's sitting at the Lord's feet listening. And so I want to make sure that we as a campus, the Plano campus, that we understand that in the midst of our busy culture, our busy, independent United States of America, we're going to do it our way, the way we want to do it, that we are represented as people who listen to Jesus, who seek Jesus, who seek to know and understand Jesus. I'm in the midst of, in the next month or so, a good friend of mine that kind of helps us lead at Plano is having a daughter and a son get married within 3 weeks of each other. Okay? So everybody in the room, mostly the moms, are like, oh my gosh. Okay? And so we are in the midst of that. And so one of the things that they said early on is help us. We know that this whole wedding planning thing can get crazy as we're kind of leading up to that. And we want to continue to fight for the one thing. We want to continue to fight for, in the midst of wedding preparations and invitations and the ceremony and all that stuff that comes, we want to make sure that we're paying attention to the one thing. And so we're on the phone a couple of days a week praying together. We're asking questions. Hey, is Christ still the number one thing in the midst of all this craziness? Because it's easy for us to become Marthas. It's easy for us to do the activity of Christianity and forget that this is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. So King David and Jesus both tell us that intimacy with the Savior is incredibly important. And so in John 17:3, Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that they may know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent." And so I'm giving you these verses just to remind you that the Scripture all throughout points us back to this. One of the things that I did in getting ready for today's message was I kind of went through all through the Old Testament, the New Testament, just looking at, hey, where are people that talk about this relationship with God? And the hard thing about, I know why Wagner struggles with being on time, right? Because the hard thing is you got to leave some stuff on the editing room floor as you're kind of getting ready for a message. But I went back into the Garden of Eden, and it says that God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. I went back to look at Moses, and it said that he related to God as a friend. And I kept going, and Paul talks about abide, remain, dwell. Jesus talks about those same things. There's a lot of terminology in the New Testament about being in Christ. So all throughout the Scripture, okay, it's talking about this one thing that David and Jesus reminded us about. And so several years back, this is probably 20 or 25 years back, I was kind of thinking through, like, these two verses, Luke 10 and Psalm 27:4, are two of my life verses that I've been kind of living with for a lot of years. And so I found a quote by E.M. Bounds that really moved me years ago. And here's what it says right here. It says, "The men who have most fully illustrated Christ in their character and have most powerfully affected the world for him have been men who spend so much time with God as to make it a notable feature in their lives. To be little with God is to be little for God." And so in the midst of Luke 10 and Psalm 27 and that quote by E.M. Bounds, I came up with a mission statement for my life. This is 25 or 30 years ago, and I haven't even come close to it. Yeah, but I want you to see what my heart is, what I want to do. And this is what it says. It says, my mission is to spend so much time with God that Christ is fully illustrated in my character to the point that I have a powerful impact on the world for him. And so I stole David's stuff. I stole Jesus' stuff. I stole the E.M. Bounds stuff. And I said, this is what I want my life to be about. But if I'm going to have that impact for God's kingdom, if I'm going to be a good husband and a good dad and a good friend, I've got to be spending time with the Lord. And you just can't get that stuff that was on the first slide. You can't get those things without spending time. And it's just really important for us as a body that we understand that getting our Bibles, kicking our feet up, getting something to drink, and sitting down and saying, oh God, teach me from your scripture. And so if you'll pursue this one thing, all of those things that we talked about on that first slide begin to happen. You begin to have peace in really difficult circumstances. You begin to be able to make decisions that make your life effective for God's kingdom. And so that's what I want our church to be about. But we have some pitfalls that we kind of all fit into. So I want you to hear me. The one thing, man, is spending time with God and getting to know him. That's the one thing. I want that to be the rallying cry for Watermark Plano's. That's who we are. We're characterized by people spending time with God. But there are, in my mind, and there's others, but there are four things that kind of prohibit us from jumping into that intimate relationship, that prohibit me from jumping into that relationship that I want, that allows me to reach that mission statement that I've set for my life. And so I'm going to kind of run through those four things, and then I want you to kind of evaluate your life. As we kind of run through those four things, I want you to say, hey, you know what? I struggle a little bit with that one. Oh, man, I struggle a ton with that one. Okay, I struggle a little with that one. And just kind of begin to think about, hey, what is it that keeps me from practicing the one thing that the scriptures talk about all throughout? What is it? And so the first one is that our relationship with God becomes informational, that it becomes ritualistic, that it becomes dry, and it becomes checklist Christianity. So I got up this morning, I got my 15 minutes in, I read the Join the Journey, and I'm off, and never the rest of the day does any of that cross my mind. And if you do that long enough, okay, your relationship with Christ is gonna become stale. And so I came through a season 2 or 3 years ago where I was doing, the guys at Watermark had asked me to help them build the children's building at Dallas. And that was about a year and a half or a 2-year project that I was kind of in charge of. And here's the problem. I have no idea how to build anything. Okay, and they say, hey, Kyle, would you be in charge of this building? And so the illustration that I use is I was a little bit like an orchestra conductor, and I couldn't read music or play an instrument. Do you think that's a problem? That is a huge problem. So we got the right people in the room, but anything anybody else knew, it took me 3 times as long to figure it out and learn it. And I got to the end of that year and a half, and I was working in places outside of my giftedness. Okay, because the time was so crazy, my time with God had become checklist Christianity, and I was just checking it off. Yeah, I got it. And I got to the end of that, and I was done. Emotionally, spiritually, some people call it burnout. I don't know what people call it, but I was done. Because I had been operating in this informational checklist Christianity and had taken the life out of my relationship with the Lord. And so I took some time, and I kind of pulled back from projects at Watermark and doing some things, and I just went back and I refocused on my relationship with Jesus. A lot of time. My feet up, reading scripture, praying, worshiping to worship music, trying to bring the life back into my walk with Christ. And so if you're here today and that's your ditch, which that's mine, that my faith can become checklist, man, would you tell somebody that, whether it's your community group, whether it's friends? We'll be up here after the service, but would you tell them, hey, I just need some help. How can I begin to bring life into my walk with Christ? The second one is that for some people, your relationship becomes driven by emotion. And so that's not my ditch. I mean, I do have, emotion does drive me at times, but it's not my number one ditch that I have. Okay, but for some of us, that's our number one ditch. That to us, even though it's subconscious, man, if I feel it, it feels true to me. And we say around here all the time, we say that feelings are real, but they're not reliable. And so some of us are so carried around by our feelings that we miss the truth. We don't pay attention to God's word. We don't pay attention to what other people are trying to tell us. And so if that's your situation, tell somebody, hey, I know that I am somebody that's wired with really strong emotions and feelings. That's how I'm wired. And so you need people in your life who know that and can say, hey, what's driving you right here? Have you looked at God's word? Have you gotten godly counsel? But it's a danger. Like the informational side's a danger, the emotional side is also a danger. The third one is real simply what we've been reading through in the journey is idolatry. That we have just decided that we're going to let other things be more important, okay, than our intimacy with Christ. And to some degree, we all have idols in our life. But some of us have let those idols control and take over our life. And so I don't know what your idol is. Okay, it's not most of the time little Buddhas sitting on our fireplace mantle that we consider an idol. A lot of times it's stuff like money or possessions, or in my case, early on, kids' sports. Okay, it can be for me, TV. Okay, but I let other things jump in and take the place of really important things that can help me in my intimacy with Christ. And then the last thing, the fourth one, I think, that kind of represents a category of reasons we don't pursue Christ is fear. And there are a lot of us in here that have just said, you know what, I'm too afraid to go there. I am not going to work on my hurts, habits, or hangups. I've just, that little pet sin or that little relationship that's broken where there's bitterness, we're not going to touch that. We're going to leave that there. And I will tell you, as I meet with people, even the last few months that I've met with folks from Plano, at the Plano campus, there's a ton of that going on that people are saying, hey, we're going to leave that little cub over there, and we're not going to pay attention to the fact that it's going to become a lion in 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. And it's fear, because we don't want the turmoil that's going to come with diving in to those things. And so just so you know, starting in August or early September, we're starting a regen here, okay, at the Plano campus. And just, I would love for you to start. Yeah, amen, I'm telling you. And because it's hard, right? You can't do that by yourself. It's too scary. So when you jump into a ministry that says, hey, there's a lot of us that are messed up. Kyle Kegler, lead one, is messed up. Let's jump in together and let's work on these places that we're scared of, that we're fearful of. And so if you're stuck in your relationship with Christ, chances are it's one of these four things. It's become informational, you're carried around by your emotion, idolatry, or you're scared. And so as you think about that, as you process that while we're here this morning, as you go home, you talk about that with your community group, your friends, your spouse, it's really important that you identify, hey, what are my ditches, and how do we slowly but surely begin to take progress and make progress in those things? Because I want that list of things, and make your own list that was on the first slide. I want to have peace in the midst of really difficult circumstances. I want to stand for Christ when our culture all around us is falling. That doesn't happen unless you're getting the time I'm talking about in your intimacy with Christ. And so we're going to spend the last few minutes just talking about how is it, okay, that we can make progress in those areas. And so the first thing I would love for you to do as you apply our time today is that you would just make a heart commitment to Christ, to the Lord. And you would say, hey, God, I know I have missed it here. I know that my life is not characterized by somebody who walks with you daily. I've missed it. And just tell the Lord, right? Ask for forgiveness and say, hey, God, you are worthy of my full devotion, and yet I've missed it. I've missed it. Tell him that he's not mad at anybody. Okay, he will be so excited. If you haven't spent time with Christ ever in your life, and you come the first day and you don't know how to find the book of John in the Bible, can I tell you how pleased God is that you're even trying to find the book of John? He wants to be with you. The God of the universe that created heaven and earth, that is involved in your life, whether you know it or not, wants to spend time with you. He loves you that much. And when you miss weeks, months, whenever you do something you regret like crazy, anytime you come back, he's ready for you. Man, arms are open and he is ready to grab you and hug you. Say, man, my son, my daughter, I'm so glad that you're back and we can spend time together. So would you make a heart commitment to a relationship with Jesus, not a to-do list? And it's a lot like our marriages, right? If I, with my bride, if everything I do is I'm just doing it because it's ritualistic or something like that, Trisha and I grow distant. Okay, if I'm not sitting down with her and saying, hey, how are you? What's happening? Where have I offended you? Okay, why are you frustrated or why am I frustrated with you? That happens all the time. It's ongoing. I make my wife mad a lot. Okay, but there's this relationship there and we work on it and we pay attention to it. And there are times when we'll go 2 or 3 weeks and it's kind of cold around the house. And the most mature person is the one who first comes and says, hey, we're not doing well. And so let's sit down and let's talk about it. That's maturity. That's not the one who gives in. Okay, that's maturity, the first one to raise your hand and say, hey, something's not right here. And let's talk about it. Our relationship with Christ is like that. We've got to pay attention to it. What is it that's pulling us away from that time with Christ? The second thing I want you to do besides making a heart commitment to the Lord and just telling God, that's what I want. I want the one thing to matter in my life. The second thing is I want you to make a time commitment. And I know that there are people sitting in here right now that probably haven't ever spent time with the Lord on a regular basis. Or maybe you haven't in a long time. Or maybe you are every day, but it's become checklist for you. And I just want to ask you, if you never have, would you make a commitment? And I don't know what it is for you. You need to do something that you can do. If it's 3 times a week for 15 minutes, is it half a day on Saturday or a couple hours on a Saturday? I know schedules are crazy. We talked about moms with 3 kids under the age of 5. That's nuts, and it's hard to get time. But we can all prioritize some amount of time to spend time with God, reading his word, praying, meditating on scripture, memorizing scripture, journaling. All of those spiritual disciplines, we can find time to do that. Or maybe you're doing really well. And so it's become checklist. And so what I have to do whenever that happens to me, because it does happen to me, I have to pull out worship music. And I listen to worship music. And I meditate on scripture instead of memorize. I kick my feet up and I roll it back and forth through my mind. God, what are you saying to me? And then I write it down. Hey, God, here's what I think you're saying to me. And I read it and I'm like, he ain't saying that. And I'll scratch it out because I don't hear from the Lord perfectly. But there's a relationship that we're trying to pay attention to, just like our relationship with our spouse. The third thing that you need to understand is you go through this intimacy with Christ and you want to grow. And the one thing is in John 14, 21. And it says this. It says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." I want to make sure you see that. Okay, if you obey what God has asked you to do, it says that Jesus will disclose himself to you. So you want to know Christ better? There is a direct correlation to your obedience to what God has already called you to do. Matthew 5:8 said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." You ever thought about that? Blessed are the pure in heart. In other words, there's no hidden secrets. There's no mystery. There's no guile. There's no deception. You're pure-hearted. And what happens? They will see God. And so this whole message is about us knowing Jesus Christ, about us growing in our intimacy so that all the other things that we do count for God's kingdom. The other thing I'd love for you to spend some time doing is, as we've talked about, just that know yourself, know how you're wired, know where you get off the track, and ask for help. And then the last one is to be single-minded, be focused. The scripture says in Psalm 90:15, it says, "Lord, teach me to number my days so that I may present to you a heart of wisdom." And so the psalmist is saying, hey, you've got a few days, you've got a certain number of days on this earth. Teach me to number those so that I may be wise in how I live. So the way I'm thinking about this, since I hit 50, I'm 52, is I got a third left. That's what I got. As a general rule, God could take me tomorrow, take me this afternoon, okay? But as I think about it, I've got a third of my years left till 75. And I'm going to number those days and try to use those effectively and efficiently as I can. And so one of the keys to that is that I stay focused. Okay? One of the keys to that is I stay single-minded. I stay wholehearted towards this relationship with Christ. So this last spring, with about 130 of the men in here on Thursday morning, we went through the book of Ecclesiastes. And so Rob Berry, who was teaching one Sunday, challenged us. He goes, "Write your obituary." And we are like, "What? That is morbid and weird and all kinds of things." And so he stayed strong. He said, "Show up next Thursday with your obituary written." And so I told Trish I was doing that. She goes, "That's weird." But she did say, "Hey, save it, put it in a file so when it comes time, I don't have to write it." And so I wrote it. I'm going to read it to you. Okay, it's crazy because what happens is it helps you get single-minded. It helps you do Psalm 90:15, "Number my days so that I present to you a heart of wisdom." And so I sat down and I wrote it. Now, before it even comes up, I want to be really clear about this is what I want people to say about me. Okay? This is not who I am or where I am. Okay? I got a third left. Okay? And I want to use these next 25 years to be the guy that's right here. But let me be clear, I ain't there yet. Because you're going to read it and you're going to laugh. Okay, those of you that know me, because there ain't no way his kids are saying that about him. Okay, but it was a great exercise for me to spend some time writing it. What do I want my wife and my kids and my family and my friends to say? So this is a little vulnerable. So I've never done this before. I haven't read this out loud. So we're going to kind of see how this goes. Okay, and so here's what it says. His mission in life was to spend so much time with God that Christ is fully illustrated in my care, in his character, to the point that he has a powerful impact on the world for him. That's the mission statement that I read at the beginning for my life. He did it. Exclamation point. His wife is shouting from the rooftops that she was lavishly loved by him and that apart from Jesus, she was the most important aspect of his life. His kids are proclaiming that they were loved unconditionally, discipled intentionally, disciplined appropriately, and always had fun with their dad. His extended family knew they were cared for and deeply loved by their son, brother, brother-in-law, uncle, cousin, etc. His co-workers, neighbors, and friends, although not all Christ followers, are saying that Christ was primary in his life and regardless of their own belief, considered him a great friend and knew they could call on him at any moment and he would come running. He had a band of mighty men who will be on the front row at his funeral. They were from all seasons of his life and carried him through the tough times, lived it up during the good times, kept him living adventurously and laughing continuously. He had an immeasurable impact on God's kingdom in his neighborhood, in his community, and for his church. He was not perfect, but he quickly owned his sin and shortcomings and was passionate about restoring intimacy with Christ and with all those he loved when he missed it. He gave his life away and in return lived an incredible life with Jesus, family, and friends. That's what I want him to say. I'm not even close. Okay, but I'm over here and I have a heart. It's what I want to do. I have a heart for my wife and my kids and my friends and those guys that are going to be the mighty men at my funeral. I want them to say to that about me. And so I'm here now and I want to be here then. And the answer is the one thing. That's the answer. All of that stuff that I do to serve and lead and hang with neighbors and share my faith and all that has got to overflow out of a relationship with Christ. And so hear me as the campus pastor at Watermark Plano when I say who you are with Christ is more important than anything you will ever do for him. It's that important. And so we're going to take the last couple of minutes, and I'm going to read a passage out of Colossians 1, 15 through 22 that's kind of categorized as a passage about the supremacy of Christ. There's also a passage in Ephesians chapter 1, 17 through 23 that does something really similar. But if you remember earlier, I was talking about this God of the universe that wants to spend time with you. And let's just look and let's read and let's meditate on who this God of the universe is. So let's read this. This is Colossians 1, 15 through 22. And once we're done, we're going to sing a song about being single-minded, focused, wholehearted on the one thing that David and Jesus talked to us about. Here's what Paul, the Holy Spirit through Paul, says in Colossians 1, 15 through 22. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. We're talking about Jesus here. For by him, by Jesus, all things were created, both in heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. All of creation was created for Jesus, including you. He is also the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. Verse 20. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Listen to this. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. And so will you sing to the God of the universe will you make a heart commitment to just make a little bit of progress, to make progress on the one thing? Because when we prioritize on the one thing, all these other things start to happen. Kingdom impact starts to happen.